Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It was Raj Mathai of NBC Sports Bay Area that had to sit down with Kerr that got Kerr to say this.
He's the most talented basketball player on earth, if not of all time, honestly. Just so gifted.
You played with Michael Jordan, and
I know, KD's, I know. Right, I think there. He's more gifted. I really do. I mean, that's saying something, but Kevin is a different, entirely different breed. I mean, 6'11", with guard skills, unlimited three-point range. It's just stunning. And watching him this year was really, really gratifying.
Guy's an evolutionary step in the size of humans and the ability to play with a ball like that. I'm guessing the NBA really has seen very few evolutionary steps like this, beginning with the first official like NBA freak of nature. A guy that big that had that ball skill was George Mikan. You know, Mikan underneath the basket was the first like legit 7-footer who was feathery, had touch. They had never seen that. He was that level of skill at that size shook the basketball world to its knees.
Yeah, Mikan was the first, followed by Chamberlain. And we're talking about physical
evolution.
Not the things that made Bill Russell great.
Sure.
Then you go to Julius Irving.
Right.
Then you go to Kareem. Well, or Kareem Irving.
Same time.
About the same time. Then you go to Jordan. Because there was a gap where there was no
Magic, just point guard that big.
Yeah, that's you're right. And then Jordan, and then LeBron. Because even Kobe was not the guy who you go, he can do everything
for physical gifts. I think the guy of that era is Garnett. No one had really seen a physical specimen like Kevin Garnett before.
As young. Right. If you want to add how old is he to it, that's the first
7-foot. He could handle. I mean, now you see Durant doing it, and it's like, well, could Kevin Garnett handle? But compared to anyone else that height at that time, absolutely, he could handle. He could shoot. He ran up and down the floor like no one we'd ever seen at that size. So, yeah, there'll be another guy. You know, in a couple of years, we'll see another guy where we're like, how does that work physically?
I'll tell you what his name is: Amani Bates.
Mm.
I'm telling you right now, write that name down.
Zion, too, I guess, could be in that category.
Yeah. Amani Bates is the first ever, was he a sophomore or was he a freshman in high school to be named the National High School Player of the Year as a sophomore? And he is committed to Michigan State. He will never go to college for a singular second. He is going to be the number one pick in, what, is it two NBA drafts? Next year's NBA draft?
Well, it depends if they do the...
Whatever draft he's allowed in, he'll be the number one pick of that year. If he were in this draft, he would go ahead of Cade. If he were in this draft, he would be the number one pick in the draft. That's who Amani Bates is. Write that down. If you don't know who Amani Bates is, you're going to want to. You'll impress your friends at the bar.
But only for a little bit, because people are already on to him.
It's not. I have not just given the big reveal, by the way.
Yeah.
But in this area, we're... High school basketball, college recruiting probably isn't one of the bigger things going on. I'm sure there are a few people who are like, I'm going to write that down.
And it was as a sophomore that he was named the Gatorade National Player of the Year.
Which is bonkers.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. He's 6'11". He is already Kevin Durant. How much better will he be?
Yeah. Let's hold off on that just a hair. He's on a track to potentially be comparable to him. But yeah. Durant is... out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, Ray, he's not.
Well, but I'm just saying that, you know, let's see him have all those skills in all those areas. at an NBA level.
Yeah, let's see him shave first. That'd be
well. I'll let
I don't
you
need
do
to watch
that.
Him shave.
Ange in Oakland. Ange, how are you? Always a pleasure.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing, man?
Very well.
I want to get to the playoffs real quick, and I want to address something that Mr. Ratto said about me that I'd like to, prove false. I am not the equivalent of a 12-year-old from Wisconsin that likes to stick his tongue on wire. My tongue, Mr. Ratto, I cannot say on the radio if I would like to keep speaking. But
well, that's my point.
With that being said, I'm rooting for Mr. Potato Head to get to the championship, man. He's the only old school cat left that I grew up kind of watching basketball, and he's been through his trials and tribulations. Him and Monty Williams make a good team. They got a nice little team together. I would like to see him go ahead and get there, and I would like to see him have to play against Mr. Trey Young. I'm just sick of looking at the Bucks. They should just be dominating. They should be going to the hole every time. Just look at some Oakley and Mason. Man, come on, stop playing with them boys. Everybody's too light in the behind to be sticking with Giannis and all of that.
Well, everybody wants to be at the perimeter. We got 7-footers playing 18 feet away from the basket half the time. And I don't understand. How are you not dominating a rebounding advantage over an Atlanta Hawks team?
Man. Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo were combined 0-for-11 from three-point range. Now, I understand three-point shooting is part of Chris Middleton's game, and more often than not, he'll do better than that, although maybe not in the playoffs. Drew Holiday took another 12 threes. Now, he made 5 of them, so it doesn't look as bad, but those three guys don't need to be taking 23 three-pointers between the three of them.
No.
Especially when Giannis has a mismatch inside against literally everybody. And if I'm Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday, I'm hunting switches until I get either Trae Young or Bogdanovich or Lou Williams,
Herter,
one of whom is on the floor. Herter at least is like 6'7". Those other guys are tiny. And Trae Young in particular, like, he played 41 minutes last night. Do you remember them hunting him on defense and putting him in the post once?
No.
Drew Holiday has a post game. They're letting Trae Young hide in the corner on PJ Tucker on defense, and it's killing him.
The takeaway from all that is that Giannis is the guy who should stop shooting threes or take one a game just so you can feel good about yourself, because his game against this team is going hard to the basket and getting guys in foul trouble and going to the line. And even if you're a 60% free throw shooter, you should be shooting, 11-for-17.
I will say, I thought Giannis did a better job not only of attacking the basket, but of also driving and finding an open guy than he has most of the playoffs. So he's not the dude I'd pick on for last night specifically. But Middleton and Holiday should be living in the lane in this series.
Unless Clint Capella is sitting there and catching every single lob pass that you're trying to throw to Giannis, why aren't you running that lob dunk play?
The one they executed for like 6 points in the last 3 minutes?
I mean, every time down the court, I'm looking for it. I'm maybe not doing it every time down the court. You know, Giannis also, in the three-point shot thing, the last piece of advice I'm going to give him is you need to be more like Ben Simmons. He shouldn't be the never three guy. It shouldn't be zero threes, but it shouldn't be more than three. Or if it is going to be more than three, it's only because you hit 2 of 3. And tonight, maybe it is your night. Other than that, go to the rim. You can jump out of the building against anyone, against absolutely anybody. Do that more.
And even if, like, you're worried, I don't know, Clint Capella's pretty good. Okay, go in there and try to dunk on Clint Capella 3 times, and then he's going to be on the bench because he's got 3 fouls, and you won't have to worry about him anymore. Who else on that team worries you in the middle? Onyeka Okongwu?
No.
I mean, honestly, sorry, Lucas.
He was
Lucas.
The eighth
Fight
pick
off.
In the draft. He must be
Fight
special.
Fight off. He got 3 minutes last night.
Three more than he'd earned. Oh, by the way, we were talking about Dallas before.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the kid deal is just about done, and Michael Finley is the new president of basketball operations.
Oh, Finn
hey,
dog.
Chicago's finest, baby. Let's go.
I saw him.
Now, that says I still think that Haralabob is probably going to be calling more shots than he is, but
sure,
it's an interesting name.
Well, it's credibility, you know?
And again,
it's cover. It's
house credit. Look at it this way. Things have gone wrong for the Dallas Mavericks. Look at the levers that they pulled. Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, Finley.
Three of the, five best Mavericks of all time?
And
I don't know if Kidd counts, but he did win a title there.
Yeah, and you know, and Dirk is sort of the conciliary now.
Oh, well, he's
on the outside. So
Dirk
yeah, basically,
everything.
They went through the alumni part of the yearbook, said, who has the biggest pictures here?
Well, and I think that's because the most important, I mean, look, obviously Mark Cuban believes in Haralabob, all right? I mean, I think that's established, and I think that's part of what's happening here. But Mark Cuban also realizes that everyone might not have such strong faith in Haralabob, and it's incredibly important that I maintain credibility, if not with the outside world, with my best player.
With my locker room.
And Michael Finley, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Kidd, those are names that carry weight across the NBA, not just in Dallas.
Indeed. Indeed. Jay Williams was a name that carried weight in basketball for a minute. Well, yeah, he was the National College Player of the Year, won a national championship,
Back
and was
then.
The
okay.
number two overall pick in the draft. So
I thought you meant it in his commentary career.
No, I'll let you know where the timeline begins. Just give me a minute before you start going, is it really? Trust me, I'm going to get there. I'm going to set it up for you. And you're going to be able to crush this because we're going to crush Jay Williams in the next, 5 to 8 minutes, which is, I mean, it's batting practice for you, Kolsky.
Thank you.
Is it Ime or Ime?
Ime. Yep.
Thank you very much. Udoka, at the age of 43, was hired by the Boston Celtics. And Jay Williams' Twitter feed says in, you know, clearly an excited moment that a black man is getting an opportunity to become an NBA head coach. He says, and I quote, first head coach of color for the Celtics, even more importantly, a talented individual. Well, where do we begin? Let's begin in 1966 when Bill Russell didn't just become the first black head coach of the Celtics, but became the first black head coach in North American pro sports history, which is something you learn on day one of Let's Talk About Sports. It's kind of a crossing the color line moment that I would say the vast majority of basketball fans who are interested in the history of the league know. Casey Jones also won two championships in Boston. Tom Saunders won. Tom Saunders was a head coach for the Celtics in 78, gone and not, you know, it wasn't there long. ML Carr was there a while. He was there for a while. And then if you'd like to work in the milieu of something a little bit more modern, Doc Rivers is also a former Celtics coach for the better part of a decade. And last time I checked, Doc was black. So, again, if you're Jay Williams, what do you do at this point? I know what I would do. I would have just said, man, I really got excited about something, got a little ahead of myself. Of course, he's not the first, but I got so excited. Good luck to him. All respect to Bill Russell. You kind of play it off, laugh at yourself a little. No, that's not what Jay Williams did. He said that and this is his quote, as it relates to the Boston Celtics, that tweet came from an account a couple hours ago. I did not post that, and my passcode has now been changed. So essentially, he's telling you, I got hacked, and the person who hacked me decided that the best way to get attention was to give a improperly timed compliment to a coach. That should get, celebrity Twitter all up in an hour. First of all, he even talks a little bit backward, you know, first head coach of color for the Celtics, and even more importantly, a talented individual, which kind of reads the same way that as it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple hours ago. I did not post that. My passcode has now been changed. Like, it's even the same sentence structure that he's telling you was a hack. Enjoy, fellas. There you go.
Somebody hacked my account argument is almost always bogus. And if you can't disguise it any better than that, you know, yeah, the only avenue is what you said, which is apologize. You know, yeah, vandals kidnapped my brain, and just let it go at that, because he was spectacularly wrong, because he he chose a franchise in which, and I think this is the only franchise of which that is true, where a black coach, three different black coaches won championships for them. You know, so you couldn't really pick a team more incorrectly.
Did you know that Mookie Betts was the first ever black Dodger? It's the truth.
Yeah.
That's basically what he did. The Dodgers' historic trade for Mookie Betts today marks the first time a black man has started in the outfield.
I am a reporter.
So here's the thing. If you're just like literally almost exactly what you said, Damon. Oh man, I really got excited and I like my brain went on vacation. Obviously I know who Bill Russell is. Never mind Doc Rivers, who was coaching when I played in the league. Like, my bad, y'all. We all laugh at you for 10 minutes and then nobody cares. But this is just, and look, that, you know, nobody's going to care about this in a day anyway. But it just outs you as a fraud, is what it does.
Well, and it's the second fraudulent moment within in the last 2 weeks for this guy. Like, I believe Kevin Durant now more than ever when he says you're the kind of guy who just talks out of pocket to get attention. I believe that.
That's
now.
Exactly right, and that's who he's been his whole career. If you know, people who follow him closely because they're angry about his career for their favorite basketball team have noticed that he says nonsense stuff all the time. But now you're just really putting it on the street, because the only person who feels like they have to use the hacked excuse for that is someone who's so used to being a fraud that it's their first instinct in every situation.
Well, and they just can't be wrong. I'm the can't be wrong guy, which is,
it's sad,
you're far
really.
Away from can't be wrong guy when you're saying that anyone else other than Bill Russell was the Celtics' first black head coach.
Okay, that said, quickly, if this is a hacker, it is one of the sneakiest, most insidious, what a cleverly insidious way to reduce public faith in Jay Williams by hacking into his account and tweeting
and not going
dumb
extreme,
stuff.
Not N-words exactly. And F-words and all sorts of venomous
like,
stuff.
Oh, he might have got hacked,
clearly, yeah,
right?
He got hacked.
Yeah, no, this is a subtle attack via hack, if it is, in fact, a hack.
What are they? What's the name of the hacking group? What's their name?
It's not. Is it Nobody or Anonymous?
There Anonymous. This is Anonymous. This is the what are those masks?
Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes. The Guy Fawkes mask. Yeah. Really, by the way, welcome to Cash Time, baby. Cash contest. Chance to win $1,000 by texting the code word VICTORY to 72881. VICTORY to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. I had Guy for Gay in my head, which is an inside fish thing, and I apologize to everyone.
It's okay by me.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is just be able to laugh at yourself. It's just an important thing in the world. And Jay Williams does not have that ability. Somebody, it got more actual retweets and likes than Jay Williams' mistake, says, finally hacked into a celebrity's Twitter. What are you going to do first? Probably congratulate the new Celtics coach inaccurately. It's going to be hysterical. Trust me. Yeah, just come on.
Oh, boy.
Come on. Be able to admit when you're wrong. V for Vendetta. Yes, very good.
And try not to be wrong times four. That would be helpful, too.
Yeah, well, times five, actually, because he's the sixth head coach. Is it? Either way. And another point is, who calls it passcode? That's like something my mom says. I can't log into my Apple account. The passcode's off.
I wonder if his hacker got hacked with the second tweet.
A second hacker?
Yeah.
There was a second hacker.
A second hacker.
Behind the grassy laptop.
Okay. So last night on The Final Word, Bobby Evans stopped on by. He was talking about how good this Giants team is. And at some point, you got to move them from the category of one of the best teams in baseball to maybe the best team in baseball.
Every night, you think they're going to win. And for many of those nights, they have. They're doing it with all parts of their game, whether it's, you know, the offense at times carrying them, the pitching carrying them, the bullpen carrying them, veterans, defense. I mean, they've really pulled a great start to this season, and they're making the Dodgers and Padres take note. I mean, this is not their division alone. They've got a third team, and the Giants are showing that, you know, they may be better than either one of them at this point.
I mean, there's nothing on paper that says that should be the better team, but the results continue to show that they've had the better start. They're the better year, as we were going over the Fightin' Farhan's resume before. Any single time you go to your deeper analytics, a better understanding, to try to almost convince yourself there's an illusion here. This is a little bit of a mirage or an oasis in the desert of Major League Baseball, and I'm just falling for it because I'm thirsty for a good team. So the second they have a good week or month or put it all together, I'm going to be a little overzealous declaring them as good as their record is. When you get into the numbers, when you get into the stats, they're even better than their record says they are.
How about just this weirdness? There are six teams in professional baseball right now. Actually, this may have changed if there were day games today, but as of this morning, six teams with a .595 or better win-loss percentage. Four of those six teams are in California.
You can put your weed in it.
Yeah, because the A's won today, so they're another .595 team.
Yeah, so it's a weird quirk. It's a weird quirk.
The West is the best.
It is.
Like to see it. Bobby Evans more on Farhan making this team better, not even inch by inch, but centimeter by centimeter.
He's not giving up a lot to get a lot. He's taken a shot at guys, and he's taken a lot of different shots, whether that's through the waiver claim or trade. So I don't know that he's necessarily going to go after that big fish on the trade market at the deadline, because he doesn't have to. I mean, he can go after market improvement, marginal improvement even, but if it helps, and he gives up marginal talent in return. And so that big trade at the deadline, it doesn't happen as much as it used to in terms of big prospects, because clubs all value their prospects like never before.
That's one of the things that Alex Pavlovich, when we asked him about it, what do you think it actually starts looking like when it is time to go for it? Well, the results would look like what you're seeing right now with, you know, how are the Giants put together? They're like a quilt. They got all these patches that have been sewn together, and for whatever reason, it's provided an incredible amount of comfort. Why would you go out, start buying Boban big blankets for $200 when you can just put together a patchwork?
Yeah, well, I mean, they have sort of six or seven automatics, which is Posey and Crawford, DeSclafani, Gausman, and I think you have to say Cueto when he's healthy, and McGee.
Yastrzemski?
When you say automatic.
Maybe Yastrzemski as well.
You just mean they're definitely going to be good?
Well, no, that they're going to be there. They're going to be in there every day barring injury.
Okay.
They're that important.
Okay.
Everything else is catch as catch can. That's a high-risk strategy the longer you do it, which is why those minor leaguers that are coming up, you know, some of them have to hit, because the more players you have to introduce into the process, the greater chance that some of them won't do well, which is why the best teams ultimately are the ones who have set guys at five or six everyday positions and at least three starters and a closer that you can rely on all the time.
Right. You don't platoon Mookie Betts.
Yeah. The Giants have gotten not away with it, but they've gotten a huge amount of mileage out of having only about four or five, and at some point they're going to have to outgrow that, because you're a better team when all your mix and match guys are coming off the bench and you have a pretty set lineup.
I don't know. See, I wonder if they aren't about to challenge that preconception. Because if I had to guess, the difference between what we're seeing today and what we would see in the, like, all-in, go-for-it scenario is actually the cost and profile of the four, as opposed to more solidified positions. In other words, a more expensive Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford and Kevin Gausman. By the way, someone on the text line is all over me, and they're right. I mispronounce his name every time. Gausman. That's what I see in the future. Because if, I guess the way I look at it is, if I'm Farhan, what's the thing I do seemingly better than every other general manager in the league?
Get busy on those margins.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep the margin pretty wide and keep messing with that stuff and keep rotating guys in. And because you're right, Ray, that as a general rule, if you're using multiple guys, it's because you don't have one good enough guy. But the way Farhan has done it, using specific guys in specific roles, it seems to be more than that.
Right. I mean, the minute he's got Tony Gwynn, he's going to play him 162 games a year.
But
right?
It's not the Tony Gwynn thing. It's the Marco Luciano thing. It's the Elio Ramos thing. It's the guy. It's the Joey Bart thing. They want those guys to be 140 game a year players, and if they all do that, then there's a lot less need for playing a lot of mix and match guys. That's what Farhan's ultimate goal still is. If the fact that he can mix and match is all well and good, but if you told him here's the ideal lineup that you want to have, he's going to want six reliable everyday players, at least three starters, and if you want to pretend it's Christmas, a closer and a great setup guy.
Are you sure about the lineup part? I mean, I think the pitching.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Right.
I'm not sure about anything. None of us are, but I think if they're as invested in guys like Ramos and Luciano and Bart as I think they are, they want those guys to be everyday players.
But getting six of those guys at once would be remarkable. That's not something that usually happens. So that could be the three or four guys we're talking about that are solidified in the lineup. The equivalent of Posey, Crawford, Yastrzemski, and yeah, exactly. But they're just theoretically better versions if the prospects hit like you want them to. And then he might, and I don't know either, but I'm just suggesting based on the success he's had, I'm not sure there's a strong argument to go away from platooning a lot with those last four or five other spots.
Results matter. And I think that the thing that Farhan is most married to in terms of consistency isn't the same player. It's the same production day in, day out. I want my three hitter to be somewhere in that 280 neighborhood from a batting average who is going to hit the ball over the wall and drive in a run if he's standing on second. And if that is a name or a platoon, I think he's happy either way.
Yeah.
And there might be this odd, the platoon is cheaper, so that's the better thing to do.
Exactly.
Element of still how, you know, he's got that Billy Bean, let me show you how smart I can do this. Let me show you how smart I am.
Right, but here's the other part of it too, right? Is even in this lineup, where Crawford has clearly been awesome, right?
Who would have ever thought that Brandon Crawford would be the must-see at-bat of the Giants lineup?
And look, he may have settled into a more concrete spot in the five-hole now, but he's taken 26-plus at-bats in 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th in this lineup. Guys are moving around, although even the concrete in the lineup every day guys are moving all around the lineup. I feel like, and Ray, you might be right, that when they get down the road and they find their guys, all that goes away. But I don't know that we should write off what they're doing so quickly, because they may actually be experimenting with a different way of doing it without a totally set lineup.
I mean, the Dodgers, when Farhan was there, were operating from the biggest pot of gold in baseball, and they were platooning everything.
Yeah.
You know, but for the fact, like, okay, Justin Turner, you're our third baseman.
Bellinger.
That's easy to see. Mr. Bellinger, if you're healthy, we're going to play you in one of six different spots tonight because you can do everything on a baseball field. But everything else was a mix and match, and now it's Jock Peterson, and tonight it's not, and tomorrow it will be again. And it's just kind of – he is taking an A's philosophy. He had Dodger money to apply it to, built the juggernaut that was L.A. and is L.A., and is now kind of doing the little bit of the same thing up here without really making that big, wasn't here last year, he is this year kind of move yet.
We also probably have to say that either Farhan or somebody he has working for him just has a really good eye for talent.
Yeah, somebody over there is a stinking genius. That's all there is to it.
I mean, somebody, as somewhere along the line, somebody is just spotting things other teams didn't and figuring out how to make it work.
I think it might be more a case of Farhan has been shopping in bargain aisles to fill holes that he knew he had, and they've done a really good job of convincing players to accept the analytical restrictions that they have based on their talents and just deal with them. I think when they, you look, I mean, we'll just take Dickerson as a point, you know, as an example. There are things he can't do. There are things he's okay at, and there are things that he's really productive with. And I think what they do is they put him in positions where he has the best chance to succeed. And you keep doing that over and over again, and guys do succeed, you get a record like this. Now, the risk with that is the more guys you have to involve those decisions in, the greater chance that some of them won't pan out.
Right, more
and
variables.
That's why I say ultimately what Farhan wants to do is get a more set lineup every day and then have the mix and match guys in the four spots in the dugout. But by and large, they're getting a lot of guys performing, I think, sort of above their weight a little bit.
Keep it up.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how pennants are won. You know, it's just the thing that I think makes people look at that team and go, wow, is that there are so many of those guys that they're getting that level of production from, and especially the pitching staff. Because there's no reason to think that Alex Wood is, you know, all of a sudden going to nail down an everyday starting position. There's no reason to look at that bullpen and go, man, they are loaded. When in fact, the results they're getting from that bullpen, other than that 1 3-week period when they were awful, that's been a very good bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of the guys who were awful during that period are not on the team anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they've chewed through guys. I mean, they have Dominic Leone and John Brebbia, they got from the scrap heap in St. Louis.
James Scherfey, anyone know where he came from?
Baltimore.
Lights out. We've talked about the churn, but lots of teams could churn, and I'm not convinced they'd all find themselves where the only active bullpen pitcher with an ERA over 4 is Darren Ruff.
That's pretty damn impressive. Yeah. Okay. The way things have been built.
Like, if Sammy Long's a starter now, which I think he probably is. So, like, that bullpen, I mean, you just look down at McGee, Rogers, Alvarez, Littell, Garcia, Leone, Scherfey, Brebbia. They've all been good.
By the way, yeah, James Scherfey is much better than Jimmy Scherfey was, because that's what he was called when he was on Oriole.
At what point do you have to be, you know, go from Danny to Dan or Jimmy to James? At what point, Ray?
Freisinger says never.
It's usually after 6 starts or 6 appearances.
You want to know why it works though with Danny Freisinger?
Because it's Danny Fry.
Because it comes down to Danny Fry, and it's a little sing-songy that way, and it works.
I didn't say it didn't work. I just said, you know, our boss is a child. By name.
No, by deed as well.
You call Danny your boss?
One of the boys. He's management. Lucas is management these days, you know?
What?
He's assigning people to schedules and stuff. Don't kid yourself. Lucas is on his way.
Yep. I said what I said.
That's right.
You know, it says a lot about this company that a guy who looks like a laundry hamper exploded on him can be called management.
Hey, you know what, Lucas?
Look at these hosts.
Don't let Ray get you down.
Keep shimmying, my boy.
Yeah, he said.
Thank you. Appreciate you, John.
Yeah, that the 3 hosts look like the laundry hamper exploded on him.
Mine did.
Wow.
That's a story that you should be sharing with us.
Go on.
Nah, just in the normal way. There's clothes everywhere.
Team
it's a mess at my
anyways.
House. Look, yeah. We got a 7-week-old, something like that.
Oh, yo, yo!
It's busy.
That's a lot. It's an awful lot. It's
a 2-year-old.
It's a bit of a stretch to blame your 7-week-old for the fact that you won't pick up your socks.
No, it's absolutely not. You don't remember what it's like having a 7-week-old if you think that statement's true.
My wife is 2 months away from her due date, and I'm already pinning things on this kid in utero.
That's right.
Why isn't the grass mowed? Talk to the baby.
Look, we got a baby on the way. What do you want from me?
There is no parental skill more important than blame delegation.
Thank you very much. Honey, I'm getting the go bag ready.
Yeah, literally, that's why you have children. It's not replacing yourself, or it's not trying to make the world better. It's having somebody to pin stuff on.
That and lawn care.
Well, all of it. Yeah. I mean, just, you know.
Jack's almost there.
Yeah. I mean.
Mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Mow the lawn, kid. You're two.
If you were going to throw something in the garbage can and you missed, that's the dog's fault.
Griffin loves using his lawnmower in the backyard. Unfortunately, it just blows bubbles. It doesn't cut the grass at all.
It's all right, though. It's muscle repetition.
That's
it's,
right.
It's muscle memory.
Used to
muscle
the idea.
Memory.
Exactly.
See, there's no reason why you can't go online and get a Fisher Price, automated mower that actually works.
No, we let our yard die in the summer anyway. Nobody wants to waste water.
So we do have a Thinking Man's Thursday, which we will wrap up today's show with. Be warned, you have been warned. I've got two stories about nuts. Not what you're thinking. Get your mind out of the gutter. Would you like to hear the two stories about nuts?
I think I know one of them already, and I'm pretty excited about the whole experience.
A California trucker was busted last Friday for stealing a trailer with 42,000 pounds of pistachios and then repackaging the nuts for sale, according to the Tulare County Sheriff's Office. Alberto Montemayor, who is 34 years old, accused of moving a tractor trailer with the pistachios from outside of Montemayor Trucking.
Wait a second.
He owned the trucking company. He's stealing from
himself?
Well, not really himself, but
his client?
The client that contracted him to truck their pistachios. He's not the hero in the story.
This is bad for business.
This is not good for Alberto. Alberto Montemayor, 34 years old, accused of moving a tractor trailer with pistachios from the Montemayor trucking lot to another lot nearby, where the nuts were taken out of 2,000-pound sacks and put into smaller bags. And apparently, the good people at the Touchstone Pistachio Company, well, they went out and found out, because they did an audit of how many of our nuts are reaching their destination. Thousands of pounds missing during that nut audit. We saw Daryl Morey call for an audit once, and he thought he had found something.
That was a nut audit of its own kind.
It really was. All I'm saying is that this is basically another win for Jonah and payroll, because sometimes forensic accounting works.
And sometimes it helps you get tipped off to a really stupid criminal.
Because smart.
If you're the only guy with a truck that can never deliver your product, it's not a hard walk to get to the point where I think that guy's the guy.
If you're running a trucking company, is pistachios the best haul you can, like, if you're getting steely with your trucking company, do you wait for like the electronics shipment? Or are pistachios going to make you more per pound? I don't know.
Maybe
like
that's what Mr. Montemayor traffics in, is just produce, I guess, and things like that.
Who's your stuff. Fence maybe is part of the issue.
Who's ever dumb enough to hire you as their trucking company is probably what you're going to steal. Unless it's like Pesci and Leota in Goodfellas, where they're like, hey, Hendry, get the cigarettes.
I guess what I'm saying is pistachios feel like they're way down the list of things that would be like cost effective to steal.
Well, here's the thing, though. Pistachios are expensive as hell. It's
expensive nut.
The macadamia nut, probably the number one.
You're in Hawaii.
King of the nuts. And yeah. By the way, if you're at Hawaii, you know where you need to go for your nuts in Hawaii? Kmart.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Go to Kmart.
That's why God made Safeway.
Yeah, no, go to Kmart when you're in Hawaii. Don't go to Costco. Go to Kmart when you're
for
all your macadamia nuts and the can that you bring home to the producers who couldn't afford the Hawaii trip to begin with.
Oh.
Sorry, boys. You're not even getting macadamia nuts.
I don't know. You guys might have some mac nuts for me and your future kids.
If he gets that Kmart in Honolulu anyways.
Honolulu. Can't wait.
Going to Maui.
Well, you're still on the wrong island. Kauai, baby. The claw. That's where you want to be. Okay, so I remember how I told you I had two nut stories?
Yes.
And the second one was also going to be about, like, legumes?
You lied?
I lied. A Tampa urologist marked a patient's right testicle for removal.
This happens all the time.
Did the procedure on that testicle. But according to all the doctors, it should have been done on the other testicle. Dr. Raul Fernando Crespo has been fined only $2,500 by the State of Florida Board of Medicine. The board had to issue a letter of concern as well. During the procedure, Fernandez Crespo realized that the patient had consented to a left testicle viroselectomy and then performed it on the other testicle. After he realized in the middle of the surgery that he had removed the wrong testicle, he removed the right one. Which I guess if this is happening to you, you don't want to go in for surgery twice.
I'm sorry, what was the procedure?
You've made a galactic, he had enlarged veins around. It's the name of the procedure is not the point of the story here.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is if this was like at all elected, like if it's cancer, fair enough. You screwed up, but we still got to get the cancer out. If there's anything elective
this is not like a vanity issue. He did have an actual.
Okay. Because I guess if you're like if your point is, well, listen, we're definitely 100% going to have to go get that other thing out anyway. So you we might as well do it
right
now.
There. Yeah.
But if there's any question of whether it's totally necessary, now that you're down to one, I might want to be asked again.
No, they got rid of the healthy nut. The bad nut stayed, but the bad nut did have to go for his overall health. So they went and, I guess, corrected the mistake as best they could. Either way, in addition to the letter of concern and the $2,500 fine, Dr. Wrongballs must pay a $2,000 fee to the Department of Health and Costs for dealing with the case. And listen to this penalty. He'll either have to take a 5-hour course in risk management or sit through an 8-hour Board of Medicine disciplinary hearing and then have to give a 1-hour lecture on wrong site surgeries at a medical facility approved by the board. It feels like it should be an awful lot more than about $5,000 and 8 hours of your day being wasted when you take out someone's wrong testicle. That's just me. Call me pro-testicle.
I think I'm not going to do that. I'm suspecting there will be a lawsuit in which $2,500 and 8 hours of, you know, song and dance will be the least of this guy's worries.
If that were me, I am going to spend...
Are you the doctor or the guy with the balls in this scenario?
Well, the guy without the balls specifically in this story.
Correct.
I am going to spend the rest of my unnatural life doing everything I can to make sure, A, that doctor never performs another surgery, and B, that every penny he's ever made ends up in my bank account, because that is beyond the pale.
By the way, the surgery on the wrong part of your body,
that happens a lot,
is wildly common.
Yeah, that's why they do the marking.
Scarily common. Very scary.
Well, at some point, it used to be until they basically said, you have to draw on the thing you're going to operate on. I mean, they give these guys Sharpies.
Yeah.
And they make them check the chart over and over again.
And they usually do it while the patient is awake at first. So the patient can be like, yup, that's the one.
Yeah,
write it on there.
I had ACL surgery. Not only did he write this knee, I signed it.
Yeah.
I signed it with the same Sharpie he used to mark the knee when I went in for a knee surgery.
Call me crazy. Seems like those doctors should have been as responsible with that man's testicles as your doctors were with your knee.
Well, and if I'm the guy, too, I'm definitely going to make sure it's straight, right?
At some
point, you got to be responsible for your own boys.
That's tough, man.
Anyways, it's a story that needed to be shared, and I'm glad we did.
So. The important news.
When we come on back, what else will we think about? Well, stay tuned and find out. Indeed, we're brought to you by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com, MIMECAST.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is time to think. It is time to think. Thinking Man's Thursday starts now with Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky.
You mean we play a sound bed and a liner over that? That's how that works? Why don't we just put that together and make it simple for everybody?
That's too much work.
It's, wow. All right. It's tough when you move up to management,
yeah, really,
I guess, Lucas.
Management.
Really,
it's
days, no time left.
That's right, delegate. That's
put yourself
all I do
in
now.
For a raise, get a new t-shirt.
Oh, there you go. All right, what do you got for us?
I like that t-shirt. Don't ever change.
Thanks, Kolsky. Appreciate that. All right, our theme today on Thinking Man's Thursday is how much do you value real life? And we start with the episode of this week on NBA Twitter. We're mixing all sorts of segments here today, and this is your topic du jour on NBA Twitter. Who would make more threes in this little shootout? Say you're in an empty gym. Steph gets 4, and you get 10. If you win, you get $1 million. If you lose, it's a year in prison.
Steph gets 4 attempts. Well.
Wide open threes, and you get 10.
So Steph's going 4 for 4, and you got to go 4 for 10?
That's right.
Or you go to prison.
Or you go to prison.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, you have to be in the NBA to shoot 40%
absolutely
from
not in an empty gym. I think in an empty gym without pressure,
yep,
I think I could win that competition. But the moment you told me Steph Curry was shooting against me and prison was on the line, I'm going 1 for 10.
So that brings you to the question, how many shots would Steph have to take for you to be comfortable taking this bet? Would it have to be 2?
1.
Steph Curry can't be involved in the bet.
No, he can't get in the gym.
Yeah. He can take 1. I feel like if you put me there and give me 10 shots, I can get 1.
I will make 1 out of 10 corner threes. Corner threes. Top of the arc, elbow, like above the break.
I'm more of a at the break guy than a corner guy. I don't like the lack of depth perception troubles me in the corner.
Yeah, I get that. You gotta have
I don't think that's saying anything too crazy. What do you think, Lucas? You've seen me shoot. I think I could get 1 of 10.
No, I think you could do. I think most answering this probably could hit 1 out of 10.
Well, there's nowhere to go worse than 1 for 10.
Well, you could
except
say,
for
if you accept
for 10,
what Ray said, keep
which,
him out of the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, he can't. You can't allow him in the building at all.
The prison pressure really complicates it, though, because I don't like my odds under pressure.
You'd be shocked. Well, maybe you wouldn't be shocked to hear how many really good 40, 50% shooters there are on Twitter.
No, I would not be shocked.
Let me just agree with this statement. Matt Kolsky would not do well in prison.
Oh, absolutely not.
Neither would I.
I know.
Really? Ray would run the yard.
Everybody's got skills.
Yeah, the intimidation factor is much higher from Ray Ratto than from me, very clearly.
All right, so outside of Steph Curry three-point shot prison bets, what else are we thinking about today, Lucas?
We mentioned mowing the lawn, but I think it was just kind of about you guys' children, getting them prepared.
Yes, eventually about making them...
Practice makes perfect.
Have you guys... Do you mow your lawns? Do you have lawns to mow?
Yes.
No, I bought a goat and let him eat it.
My lawn is small enough, and again, I let it die in the summer, that I just have one of those old-fashioned roly-poly deals, mechanical deals. There's no gas. There's no power in my mower.
Well, a spinning mower.
Have you ever wanted to virtually mow your lawn but not actually get anything done? Because I have the product for you. Here is what it's called. This is the headline. Show the grass who's boss in Lawn Mower Simulator. Lawn Mowing Simulator. Experience the beauty and detail of mowing the great British countryside in Lawn Mowing Simulator. The only simulator that allows you to ride an authentic and expansive roster of real-world licensed lawn mowers. So, are you guys in on video game
mowers.
Lawn mowing? Yeah.
So, I'm in. I'm not going to lie. Wow. I'm in.
I've always wanted a riding mower.
I love mowing lawns. I love mowing lawns in upstate New York and in Indiana. And then when I lived in my apartments in San Francisco and had no lawn, I missed mowing the lawn.
Sad Damon.
I miss mowing the lawn. I had a buddy of mine who has, you know, what's the thing? Money. And he has a place up in Napa and a riding mower. And I would go up there and everyone would be in the pool or drinking wine. And I'd be like, can I take the John Deere out for a spin? And I'd go mow his lawn. I'm a simple man.
I'm not going to lie to you. The idea of mowing some, like, reverse rows into the British countryside does kind of sound peaceful and appealing to me.
I love it. Just stoned as hell on a John Deere mowing lawns. Sounds great.
You could definitely safely drink and mow in that scenario.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't have to deal with allergies. You don't have to deal with picking the grass up after.
Great. No hay fever.
Yeah.
You know what this is for?
No
this is
gas.
For people who are city-bound and feel that they are missing the countryside. Sure.
Let's be honest. This is for lonely men over 40.
Let me ask you, Ray, because I know you'd be out on a lawnmower simulator. What if I gave you a chance to ride a Zamboni in a simulator? You could Zamboni NHL ice to your heart's content. Would you do it?
No.
Like old St. Louis Arena, old Barnes.
Real beer, fake Zamboni.
Explain fake Zamboni.
It's a simulator.
It's a simulator.
Okay,
a
then, well, no. I mean, if I'm going to sit on my couch and drink a beer, I don't want other tasks.
Okay. Fake beer, real Zamboni.
Absolutely not.
real
beer. You lost me at fake beer.
Wait a minute. Real beer, real Zamboni. What if I can get you on a Zamboni for a Zamboni ride down at a Sharks game? Would you go?
With beer.
No, because I'd look like an idiot having to wave at strangers.
No, we'll give you a pinwheel to hold, and so you don't have to wave at anybody.
No, you literally look like the last turkey in the shop at a bad parade on the 4th of July.
If I'm on a Zamboni, I need to be driving, because I don't want to be hanging with my legs dangling off the back end either.
And if I'm driving the Zamboni, I'm putting that thing into row 3, guaranteed.
That's why they won't let you do it.
I mean, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. So there's no fixation there for me.
Thank you to Brian Geltzeiler, Chris Creamer, and Alex Pavlovich for joining us today. Whether you are in your car, at home, or on your Zamboni, thank you for listening. Thank you very much to Lucas. Thank you to Mark. Really appreciate it. For Ray, for Matt, I'm Damon. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.